Chapter 19.
Stay close,
I shouted. I thrust the end of my staff into the gravel and dragged it through, drawing a line in the dust and stones. I swiftly inscribed a quick, rough circle, maybe 4 feet across, around Murphy and me, actually getting between her gun and the gray suits for a second.
Damn it, Harry, get down, she shouted.
I did so, reaching out to touch the line in the gravel, slamming a quick effort of will into the simple design. Murphy's gun barked twice. I felt the energy gather in the circle and coalesce in a rush, snapping into place in a sudden and invisible wall. The nearest of the gray suits staggered and then flung itself into a forward dive. Murphy flinched back, and I grabbed her hard before she could cross the circle and disrupt it. The gray suit slammed into the circle as if striking a solid wall, rebounding from its surface in a flash of blue-white light that described a phantom cylinder in the air. An instant later, more of the gray suits did exactly the same thing, maybe 20 of them, each of them bouncing off the circle's field. Easy, I said to Murphy, still holding her against me. Easy, easy. I felt her relax a little, ceasing to struggle against being held in place. It's okay, I said. As long as we don't break the circle, they can't get through. We were both shaking. Murphy took a pair of gulping breaths. We just stood there for a moment while the gray suits spread out around the circle, reaching out with their hands to find its edges. I had time to get a better look at them while they did. They were all the same height and weight. Their features were unremarkable and similar, if not quite identical. They looked as if they could have all been from the same family. Their eyes were all the same color, an odd gray-green, and there was no expression, none whatsoever, on their faces. One of them reached out as if to try to touch me, and his open hand flattened against the circle's field. As it did, a freaking mouth opened on his palm, parallel to his fingers. It was lined with serrated shark-like teeth, and a slithering, coiling purple-black tongue emerged to lash randomly against the circle as if seeking a way through. Yellowish mucus dripped thickly from the tongue as it did. Okay, Murphy said in a small, toneless voice. That is somewhat disturbing. And it's gonna get better, I muttered. Sure enough, the other gray suits started doing the same thing. Within seconds, we were completely surrounded by eerie hand mouths, writhing tongues, and dripping slime. Murphy shook her head and sighed. Ugh. Tell me about it. How long will this thing keep them off? They're spirit beings, I said. As long as the circle's here, they're staying outside it. Couldn't they just scuff dirt on it or something? I shook my head. Breaking the circle isn't just a physical process. It's an act of choice, of will, and these things don't have that. Murphy frowned. Then why are they doing anything at all? I had to restrain myself from smacking my forehead with the heel of my hand. Because someone summoned them from the Never Never, I said. Their summoner, wherever he is giving them orders. Could he break the circle? Murphy asked. Yeah, I said. Easily.
Which is an excellent note upon which to begin our conversation, said a man's voice with a heavy Cockney accent. Make a hole, lads.
The suits on one side of the circle lowered their hands and stood back, revealing a blocky bulldog of a man in a cheap maroon suit. He was average height, but heavy and solid with muscle, and he wore a few too many extra beers around his middle. His features were blunt and rounded like water-worn stone. His hair was graying and cut into the shortest buzz you could get without going bald, and his eyes were small and hard, and the exact same color as those of the gray suits, a distinctive gray-green.
Ah, love, said the man, grinning. I think it's quite fine to see couples who aren't afraid to express their affection for each other.
I blinked at him, then down at Murphy, and realized I was still holding her loosely against me. By the expression on her face, Murph hadn't really taken note of the fact either. She cleared her throat and took a small step back from me, being careful not to step on the circle in the gravel. He nodded at us, still grinning.
Hello, Dresden. Why not make this easy for all of us and tell me which unit Donald Morgan is hiding in?
I suddenly realized that I recognized this jerk from the profile the wardens had on him.
Binder, I said. That's what they call you, isn't it? Binder's smile widened and he bowed slightly at the waist. The same. Murphy frowned at Binder and said, Who is this asshole? One of the guys the wardens wish they could just erase, I said. He's a wizard? I do have some skills in that direction, love, Binder said. He's a one-trick hack, I said, looking directly at him. Got a talent for calling up things from the never-never and binding them to his will. So, Binder, Murphy said, nodding. Yeah, he's scum who sells his talent to the highest bidder, but he's careful not to break any of the laws of magic, so the wardens haven't ever been able to take him down. I know, Binder said cheerfully, and that's why I'm positively savoring the exquisite irony of me being the one to take down the famous warden Donald Morgan, the self-righteous prig. You haven't got him yet, I said. Matter of time, my lad, Binder said, winking. He stooped and picked up a single piece of gravel. He bounced it thoughtfully on his palm and eyed us. See, there's a bit of competition for this contract, and it's a fair bit of quid. So I'm willing to give you a chance to make my job easier in exchange for considerations. What considerations? I asked. He held up the pebble between his thumb and forefinger. I won't pitch this into your circle and break it. That way my lads won't need to kill you both. And won't that be nice? Behind Binder, down at the end of the row of storage units, the dust stirred. Something unseen moved across the gravel. Given how my life had been going, odds were good that it couldn't be a good thing. Unless...